Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Grace Covenant Presbyterian Church. My name is Chris Martin. I'm the Director of Music and Organist here at Grace Covenant. And on behalf of our church staff and members, I would like to welcome you to this, our final concert in this year's August Musicales Concert Series. We are glad that you are here with us. Many of you already know that our annual concert series is made possible by the generous support of the many patrons, all of whom are listed on the back of your program. And we also, our programs are made possible by free will offerings. And as if you would like to support our program, our series this evening, you will have an opportunity to do so at the halftime. We will have ushers who will come down the aisles and pass plates. And if you feel like making a donation, we would greatly appreciate anything that you could give us. At the end of tonight's program, you are invited to a reception in our social room where you can meet members of the choir and their director, Peter Hopkins. And that will be in the social room, which is basically in this direction on this level. Every year in early June, we mail our concert series flyers to everyone, and if the flyers are actually printed on the inside cover of your program. If you are not receiving our flyers and would like to, just leave us your contact information. We have a notebook in the narthex, and you can just leave your contact info, and we will see that you get a flyer mailed to you next year. Finally, at this time, if you have any electronic devices, cell phones, pagers, any other equipment, if you would kindly silence those at this time. Tonight, we are delighted to welcome one of Richmond's most exceptional choirs to our August Musicales concert series. Sanctuary is the choir that leads weekly candlelight services at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church here in Richmond, and they sing every Sunday throughout the entire year. St. Stephen's Compline service, which is at 8 p.m., attracts many from around Richmond and from afar, and this choir has established a favorable reputation in our city. If you haven't been to St. Stephen's evening services, you will get a foretaste of what a Compline service is tonight. The first half of the program will be music from an entire Compline service, and that will be led by the choir from the gallery. On the second half of the program, the choir will be up front, and they are going to present a few anthems for us. That's all I have for now. So if you would, please join me in giving a warm welcome to tonight's choral ensemble, Sanctuary.
Thank you. pleasure to be here tonight with you all. Thank you so much for coming. So what you heard was most of what a service of compline sounds like at St. Stephen's Church every Sunday evening without fail at 8 p.m. The difference being that there's no electrical lights. It's all by candlelight, hundreds and hundreds of candles. It's a very special atmosphere. You enter in the dark, light a votive candle if you wish. It's an interesting congregation. We have anywhere from 70 to 150 people there, and we have no idea whom they are because there are no spoken words at this service. There's no greetings. There's no turning around and greeting the person in the pew next to you or anything how we're used to at most worship services. Compline comes from, the word actually means completion. And it is the last of the seven monastic services of the day. The psalmist said, seven times a day I will praise thee. And as early as the 5th century, this service was being developed and sung by the desert hermits and the early monasteries and nunneries as a way of completing the day. And the custom would be that when you finish the service, you would go to bed and you would not say a word to anyone. And the next word you would say, except it would be sung, would be, O Lord, open thou my lips in the morning, and my mouth shall proclaim thy praise. So compline was the last service of the day, probably done around 9 p.m. actually, maybe even later, depending on the monastery or nunnery. With our choir, we rotate by month, whether we are in a monastery or a nunnery. This month, it's what they call chick chant. It's the women sing all the chanting. A month from now, it'll be the tenors and basses turn for a month. So you get to hear both sounds. So you can imagine you're in a monastery or a nunnery. We sing lots of Gregorian chant, like you heard tonight, and lots of Renaissance polyphony, like you've heard so far tonight, except with one notable exception, the last piece we sang from the 19th century. We'd now like to sing several pieces from different eras inspired by the music of the Renaissance. And we're going to start with the greatest composer you may never have heard of. Someday I'm going to do a concert called If There Were No Johann Sebastian Bach. What would music have been like and what would it be like now? Well, it's impossible to figure out what would music be like now because there's not any composer alive or in the history since his death that wasn't influenced by him. But there were some great composers other during his time that he has eclipsed, none more so than his immediate predecessor at the St. Thomas Church in Leipzig, Johann Kuhnau, who we're going to sing next, was the choir master at the St. Thomas Church, and Bach assumed that position upon Kuhnau's death. He was a wonderful composer. His cantatas for choir and orchestra are nearly the equal of Bach's. He also wrote a great deal of a cappella music. He was very interested in earlier music, which was kind of rare at his time. Most composers, to establish reputation, had to write only in whatever the modern style was of their time. Kuhnau was an antiquarian, and he loved the music of the 16th century, Palestrina and other people that he had studied. And so he wrote this next motet very much in the style of 150 years before his time. The only difference being it is a little more intense in how he writes the style of Renaissance polyphony than perhaps the actual Renaissance music. So the Tristis motet of Johann Kuhnau. Thank you. years later, and going from Germany to Austria, Mozart said that the following composer was the greatest composer of church music ever. And again, although he's not unknown, he's certainly a lot less known than his brother. You've all heard of Haydn, but this is the brother of the Haydn we talk about, Franz Joseph, the great symphony and chamber music and other music composer. His brother was Michael, was the head of church music for the court in Salzburg, where they had a position that I think would be a lot of fun to be, a prince archbishop. I mean, that pretty much covers all the bases, you know? And you can pretty much do whatever you want if you're a prince archbishop. And the prince archbishop liked good church music as long as it didn't last too long. He had a lot of trouble with young Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, and he eventually literally kicked him out of the city and working there, quite literally with the foot. But Michael Haydn was a much more gentle, amiable, and accommodating man, and wrote music of the length that the prince archbishop liked. You heard a Salve Regina, one of the Marian hymns that we sang in a 19th century setting. Here's a setting by Michael Haydn, and although Michael Haydn loved to write music in old Renaissance style as well, this is one piece that is totally in the classical style. It's just fascinating. It's almost like a miniature symphony written by his brother, except with words. It has a slow beginning, and then a very fast 4-4 time that underneath it, I can hear the string orchestra providing accompaniment. You could easily write it in and no one would know it wasn't Haydn from the beginning. But so a wonderful, very classical era setting of Salve Regina. Next to probably Bach would be Johannes Brahms, the great symphony writer, concerto writer, but also great number of choral music pieces. and wonderful motets. This was a motet on the great 51st Psalm, the great Psalm of Penitence, and is one of his first masterpieces in any genre. This is written by a young Brahms, but it already shows all the technique and all the expressive mastery that he would achieve in his whole life, just encapsulated in one choral piece. It's in three sections to match the verses of Psalm 51. Schaffe in mir Gott ein rein Herz. It is incredibly learned. If you were to study the score, you would find Brahms uses so many techniques of Renaissance polyphony and even medieval music. He was a great scholar, but Brahms was able to never sound learned or academic. It's just gorgeous music while it's using canons and augmentations and diminutions and all these different things that most of you have no idea what those words mean, and it doesn't matter because I can remember the words from music school. I don't necessarily remember what they all mean anymore either, but I know they're here, and the glory of Brahms is how he can be so learned and so spiritual and emotional at the same time. So it begins with something maybe inspired by Lutheran chorales and ends with such joyful music that it almost sounds like they're drinking songs from the tavern.
Show.
Although our emphasis at our Compline service is on chant and Renaissance polyphony, we do sing a cappella music of all eras, including our own time, occasionally by someone who's actually alive. And we'll end our regular part of the program. We aren't going to do all the pieces listed, but we would like to sing to you a setting of Ubi Caritas, which is perhaps the most beautiful of all liturgical texts ever written. Where true charity and love abide, God himself is there. Its origin in the service was for Maundy Thursday during the washing of the feet, where the clergy in tradition wash the feet of the people, remembering that Christ and at the upper room washed the feet of his disciples. And so this text would normally be sung while that act of sacrificial love is going on. J-Lo, the composer, is from Norway, but he now lives in Los Angeles. He's a very well-known, becoming well-known composer of organ music, lots of choral music, and instrumental music. He's beginning to write for film scores and all kinds of things. That's why he's in Los Angeles. But he writes just beautiful, beautiful, lush harmonies, contemporary but very pretty settings of texts like this. Very much inspired by Gregorian chant. So we're going full circle from the very first phrases you heard are almost exactly echoed in some of the phrases sung by solo parts in this piece. And then, if you really, really want us to, we'll have one other piece on the program afterwards.